Welcome to your A-Level PE Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating and high-value topics in the EdExcel specification, transfer of skills and memory models. That's topic 4.2. Whether you're preparing for a 6-mark question or tackling a full 15-mark extended response, this episode is going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam with confidence. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with transfer of learning. At its heart, transfer of learning is about how prior experience of one skill influences the learning or performance of another. And the key word there is influences, because that influence can be positive, negative, or even non-existent. Positive transfer is when a previously learned skill helps you acquire or perform a new one. Think about a badminton player picking up tennis. Their racket control, their footwork patterns, their understanding of angles, all of that transfers beautifully. The examiner wants you to be specific here. Don't just say, the skills are similar. Say, the overarm throwing action used in cricket transfers positively to the javelin throw because the sequential rotation of the shoulder, elbow, and wrist joints is biomechanically identical, reducing the time required to reach the autonomous stage of learning. Negative transfer is when a previously learned skill actually hinders the acquisition of a new one. A classic example is a squash player learning tennis. In squash, you use a firm, closed-face wrist flick. In tennis, you need a more open, relaxed follow-through. The squash habit actively interferes. Now, and this is a mark-winning point, negative transfer is typically temporary. With sufficient practice and clear coaching cues, the new motor program becomes dominant and the interference fades. Zero transfer is when there is simply no meaningful relationship between two skills. A swimmer learning chess, a gymnast learning to play the piano. The skills are so dissimilar that neither helps nor hinders the other. Now, here's where candidates frequently drop marks. Proactive inhibition and retroactive inhibition. These are not the same as positive and negative transfer, and mixing them up will cost you marks. Proactive inhibition is when an old skill interferes with the recall or performance of a new skill. The old memory trace is so strong it pushes forward and disrupts the new one. Think pro, the old one goes forward in time to interfere with the new. Retroactive inhibition is the reverse. A newly learned skill interferes with the recall of an old one. Think retro. The new one reaches back in time to disrupt the old. A footballer who has just learned a new positional system might struggle to recall the old one they used last season. A brilliant memory hook for this. Pro goes forward, retro reaches back. Old disrupts new, that's pro. New disrupts old, that's retro. Now let's move into memory models, starting with the multi-store model proposed by Atkinson and Schifrin in 1968. This is a linear sequential model with three distinct stores. First, the sensory register. This is the entry point for all information from the environment. It has a huge capacity, it takes in everything your senses detect, but its duration is extremely brief, less than 1 second. Most information is lost here through a process called trace decay. What determines what gets through? Selective attention. If a stimulus is relevant, novel, or intense, like a coach shouting your name during a drill, it captures your attention and passes into the next store. Second, the short-term memory, or STM. This is your working memory in simple terms. It has a limited capacity of 7 ± 2 items. That's Miller's magic number from 1956. Its duration is up to 30 seconds without rehearsal. Information can be kept alive in the STM through maintenance rehearsal, essentially repeating it over and over. But to move it into long-term storage, you need encoding, connecting it to existing knowledge. Third, the long-term memory, or LTM. This is the permanent store. Unlimited capacity, unlimited duration. Once a motor program, like a tennis serve or a gymnastics routine, is encoded into LTM, it can be retrieved back into STM when needed for performance. Now, how do you maximize transfer into LTM in a sporting context? Three strategies are particularly examinable. Chunking, breaking a complex skill into manageable units. A basketball coach might teach a layup as three separate chunks, the approach, the jump, the release, rather than as one overwhelming sequence. Chaining, linking those chunks together in sequence once each is learned individually. And mental rehearsal, using vivid imagery to rehearse the skill cognitively, which activates the same neural pathways as physical practice and strengthens the memory trace. Now let's evaluate the multi-store model. The examiner loves evaluation, and this is where your AO3 marks live. The model is praised for being the first systematic attempt to explain memory as a process rather than a single entity. It introduced the concept of selective attention as a filter, which has clear practical applications in coaching. However, it is criticized for oversimplifying the STM as a single unitary store. Baddeley and Hitch's working memory model, proposed in 1974, demonstrated that the STM is actually a multi-component system with a central executive, a phonological loop, a visuospatial sketchpad, and an episodic buffer. This is far more consistent with what we observe in sport, an athlete simultaneously processing visual cues, auditory instructions, and proprioceptive feedback. The multi-store model cannot account for this parallel processing. The second memory model you need to know is Craik and Lockhart's levels of processing model from 1972. This model challenges the idea that memory depends on which store information passes through. Instead, it argues that the depth at which information is processed determines the strength of the memory trace. Shallow processing, structural or phonetic, produces weak, short-lived memories. Deep processing, semantic, meaning-based, produces strong, durable memories. In sport, a coach who simply tells an athlete, "Bend your knees," is promoting shallow processing. A coach who asks, "Why do you think bending your knees improves your balance during the tackle?" is promoting deep semantic processing. The athlete is constructing meaning, making connections, and forming a far stronger memory trace. The practical implication? Use elaborative rehearsal rather than maintenance rehearsal. Ask why questions. Link new skills to existing knowledge. Use analogies. This is why the best coaches don't just demonstrate, they explain, question, and connect. Now let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. For 6-mark questions, the examiner is looking for 3 clear developed points. Use the AO1-AO2 structure. Define the concept, then apply it to a specific sporting example. Don't say, "Positive transfer helps athletes." Say, "Positive transfer occurs when a previously learned skill facilitates the acquisition of a new skill." For example, a hockey player learning lacrosse will benefit from positive transfer of the overhead pass, as the biomechanical pattern of shoulder rotation and wrist extension is near identical, accelerating progression through Fitz and Posner's cognitive stage. For 15-mark extended responses, use the AO1, AO2, AO3 paragraph structure. Open with theory and definition. Apply to a named sport with specific detail, then evaluate strengths, limitations, alternative models, practical coaching implications. The examiner's mark scheme will explicitly credit evaluation of the model with reference to an alternative theoretical perspective. Watch your language. Replace forgetting with trace decay or retrieval failure. Replace practicing with rehearsal or overlearning. Replace the brain stores it with the motor program is encoded into long-term memory. These precise terms signal to the examiner that you are operating at the top of the mark band. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1. Confusing negative transfer with zero transfer. Negative transfer means active interference. Zero transfer means no effect at all. They are not interchangeable. Number 2, describing STM as a single store without acknowledging the working memory model. If the question asks about active processing during performance, you must reference Baddeley and Hitch. Number 3, mixing up proactive and retroactive inhibition. Use the memory hook. Pro goes forward, retro reaches back. Number 4, stating that negative transfer is permanent. It is not. With deliberate practice and coaching intervention, the new motor program overrides the old one. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1, what is the capacity of the short-term memory? 3 seconds. The answer is 7 plus or minus 2 items, Miller's magic number. Question 2. What process filters information from the sensory register into the STM? 3 seconds. Selective attention. Question 3. In levels of processing, what type of processing produces the strongest memory trace? 3 seconds. Deep semantic processing. Question 4. A rugby player struggles to perform their old passing technique after learning a new one. Is this proactive or retroactive inhibition? 3 seconds. Retroactive inhibition, the new skill is interfering with recall of the old one. Question 5. Name one coaching strategy to maximize transfer into long-term memory. 3 seconds. Chunking, chaining, or mental rehearsal, any of the 3 earns the mark. Let's wrap up. Today you've covered the 4 types of transfer: positive, negative, zero, and bilateral, along with proactive and retroactive inhibition. You've explored the multi-store model with its three stores and their specific capacities and durations. You've evaluated it against the working memory model, and you've applied the levels of processing model to coaching practice. You know the DCR approach for handling negative transfer: detect it, compare the conflicting skills, and remedy it through deliberate practice. Remember, in the exam, every paragraph should flow from AO1 to AO2 to AO3. Define, apply, evaluate, use precise terminology. Reference specific sporting examples, and never confuse negative transfer with zero transfer. You've got this. Good luck in your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.